Grace to you and peace from God who creates and redeems and sustains all things. Amen. I had started out my sermon, actually wrote one whole sermon on Galatians before I realized that I really couldn't ignore Luke, which is very sad. I like the Galatians much better. But I found that part of the gospel lesson, really a lot of it, pretty tough to read. The days are drawing near when Jesus is to be taken up. And he sets his face to Jerusalem. And on their way, they encounter the Samaritans. Now, keep in mind that the Samaritans are competing for the same land and the same places to set up their altar as those who are from Jerusalem. And so you can imagine they aren't the best of friends. And I think it's interesting that the disciples are surprised that they don't receive the rabbi. It made sense to me that they would not receive the rabbi, but they're upset about it. And when the disciples, James and John, saw that they were not going to receive Jesus, their immediate response is, "Lord, do you want us to call down fire and consume them?" And you can almost see the glee in their faces. They're like, "We got this newfound power, and we are going to snuff these people out." I thought, how weird, until I realized that James and John are so much like us. How often, when we have been wronged or our hopes have been dashed, do we want to bring down fire? I often say to people that you can say whatever you want to about me, and I just don't care. But if you say one bad word about my wife, I will bring fire down. It's just how God made me. But that's not the way of Jesus. It's important that we remember that, because we're living in a time when retribution has become the knee-jerk reaction, where revenge seems to be something that we engage in without even thinking. There was a study recently, I read in David Loess's article, there was a study done recently where they asked college students about how important empathy was to them. And their response showed a 40% decrease in the importance of empathy among college students. It's kind of scary if you think about it. If that extends into our whole population, empathy, the ability to feel with and to see from the other's perspective, as that decreases, our willingness to curb revenge and retribution tends to rise. Fortunately, Jesus turns, I love this, Jesus turns and says, "What are you talking about?" He rebukes them. Because just for that moment, James and John lost sight of what it is at the core, what is at the core of Jesus' message, which is love. Paul will pick that up in the Galatians text. And he will help us to understand that it is not our own self and our own self-interest and what we want that in the end forms us as Christian people or as a church. But it is to live for our neighbor. And it's odd, because in a way, Jesus and Paul both turn the word slavery upside down. We often think of slavery as being attached in a way or having to succumb to the will of another, having our freedom taken away. But both Jesus and Paul use that word slavery to talk about the ways in which we enslave ourselves. That the yoke that is put upon us is the yoke that we put upon ourselves, in which we become curved in on ourselves and forget what it means to love as God loves. You are free, Paul says. But that freedom leads always to looking out for the other. And then Paul calls us to live by the Spirit. Now, in the end, Paul in Galatians will make this can be taken as kind of a moral code. And as a matter of fact, I never use this for evangelism because you can't do any of the fun stuff. Fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery. Imagine if you couldn't do sorcery. Enmities, strife, jealousy, and then the things that happen in the church pretty regularly. Anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, but only at the council meetings, carousing, and things like these. But Paul isn't just making a list of moral issues for which we need to avoid. Paul then doubles that over and he says, but this is what the Spirit is calling you to. The fruit of the Spirit is love and peace and patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, and again, all those things we find in the church, gentleness and self-control. And he has the temerity to say, and there is no law against those things. But how do we find them? Both Jesus and Paul call us to the Spirit for those gifts. That semi-unnamed, somewhat questionable third person of God that sometimes finds her way into Lutheran congregations, but not too often. I think of the Spirit in this way. I've told this story before, and those of you who've been around, I apologize, but years and years ago, again, the camping theme, we were out camping, and it was a church camping group. We were around this lake in Kansas. And unfortunately, we had invited one of our members along who was a science teacher. Science teachers and fire do not go together. He knew everything that you could do with a campfire that you would never want to teach your children ever. So for fun, he did the beer trick. Children, close your ears. Don't ever do this. He took it. He put a little pinprick in a can of beer and he put it in the fire. Awesome. A little while later, this beautiful fountain came up. It was majestic. It was glorious. It was wonderful. And the next morning, my son and his friend went into one of the coolers, got a can of beer, and threw it in the fire. There we were, kind of sitting around the fire, and all of a sudden, it exploded. The beer can just, there is fire and ash going everywhere. And we all turn around and look toward the fire. And there's just smoke and ash and two little boys running at 100 miles an hour away. You are so busted. All of the camp furniture had holes burned in it because, of course, the embers blew up. And these two little boys with ashes on their face and burns in their clothing come walking over. We didn't do it. Notice Paul didn't put lying in here anywhere. But in a way, the Spirit that works among us is like two little boys throwing a beer can in the fire. You just can't control what will happen when the Spirit comes into you or your community. It might just blow up in our face. That wind blows through and does amazing things among God's people. Even love. So it's no wonder that we sort of worry a little bit about the Spirit coming into our life, because, you know, we've heard about people talking in tongues, and we've heard about people doing things like happened this year at one of our elections for bishop. Bishop Andy was telling me this story. At one of our elections for bishop, everyone was sure that the incumbent bishop was going to be elected. And a pastor said, well, I just have some things I want to say. If I get far enough to the point where we make speeches, I just want to say a few things. But I know I'm not going to get elected. And so the election went on, and they got to the part where they do speeches, and she got up and she said what she had to say, and she got elected. She's really disappointed. The Spirit moves and moves us. Maybe the fire that the disciples are calling down on us to consume us is that Spirit of fire of Pentecost. That we might be consumed with God's love for one another and the world. Amen.